views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit show Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Do you love your life? Are you truly free in being your authentic self? In a stress-filled world full of distractions, Love Living Radio is a space to explore how mindful presence can steer you toward an ignited life. What does a life you really love look like? Emily shares her innermost vulnerabilities and breaks down barriers through conversations about sex and relationships, the magic of plant medicine, and so much more in order to share the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everybody. Oh, my God. It feels like it's been forever. I don't know why, but it definitely feels like it's been longer than 2 weeks. Maybe it has. Who knows? Welcome. You're watching and listening to Love Living Radio, and I am Emily Perkins. And today, I am super duper duper excited to be talking to a woman that I just so truly admire. From the minute I met her, I was like, oh, yep, we're going to be friends. She's brilliant. And I was thinking about this today, actually. I was thinking about, like, how do I somehow find a way to encapsulate and honor the amazingness that is Yuki. And the word that kept coming up for me was brilliance. And she's brilliant in the way that a light is brilliant. You know, like she just radiates and she just amplifies. And she's also just insanely brilliant and smart, and has this, and I loved reading your bio, Yuki, because I loved the part that said that your style is blending gentle compassion with ancient wisdom and a spark of spunk. Right. Because like, oh, that is just so you. It is like such a great way of describing your essence and who you are.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank Welcome you. And thank you.
I'm so happy to be here. You just like warmed my whole heart.
I know. I honestly have been kind of giddy about this one for I don't know, when did we talk? A couple of weeks ago, but I'm just so excited.
Been counting down the days.
I know, me too. Mostly just so that I could actually see your face and talk to you.
Same. And now I've got like this smile that my cheeks are already going to hurt. I think we're going to have so much fun in this.
Oh my God, I can already tell. I'm so excited. Yeah. So when Yuki and I were kind of chatting about what we wanted to talk about, it was like kind of like instant alignment. Mm-hmm. And we were both like, okay, what we're talking about today is divorce. Something that I think deeply connected both of us. In our first meeting, which for those of you who have seen previous shows, I, along with so many of the amazing people in my life that I've met through this program, am involved with a company called CORE, and they do transformational workshops that are just mind-blowing, and that's where I met Yuki.
That's where all the best friendships happen.
Honestly, that's kind of true.
It really is. It's like every time I think of our CORE community, I feel so supported and loved and grateful.
So true. Yeah.
I'm grateful I got to meet you.
Oh my God, me too. Yeah. And then I think the thing about CORE that I love so much is that it kind of like sinks you into the heart of someone and like into like that depth and deep intimacy, like so fast that like you leave and you're like, I feel like I know your soul, but I don't even know your last name. It's just
that
like,
is exactly how it feels. It's like, I don't know how many siblings you have, but I know your deepest joys and your deepest fears and your deepest sorrows and deepest, you know, everything. Like it is so intimate. There's no hiding, is there?
Yeah. That's so true. And it leaves you with just these like really beautiful connections and friendships that are so true and so deep, which is so totally how I feel about our connection.
I feel that way too. It's like our highest selves get to come together.
Yeah. And, you know, in that first Radiant Woman workshop with CORE, like, I think one of the things that allowed me to kind of sink so much into the healing was my friendship with you, mm-hmm. and like having this path that we both have walked, mm-hmm. That kind of really deep heartbreak of divorce.
And you really, I think, because you went through it earlier than I did. I was, you know, right fresh in the middle of it when we first met. And so even getting to hear your experience and your wisdom, you know, because I felt the same way. I was like, oh, I'm not the only one. You know, she gets it. She gets me. And even though we had different experiences, I think it sounded like it was really a growth period for both of us to such a deep extent that we really got that part, you know, with each other. And so, yeah, I felt that same way. Like the instant that we connected on that, I just felt like so much peace. I don't know. It was like, oh, I've got a sister in this. Like I'm super not alone. And helped me to really like change a lot of my perspective about my divorce too, because it was so fresh and it was so painful. And so getting to hear about your experience, even just the tiny bit that we talked about it, was major shifting for me.
Yeah. I so appreciate that. And I have such a vivid memory of one moment in the workshop where I got to witness you, and I won't kind of dive into the details, but I hadn't really gotten to do a lot of really deep digging into the heartbreak of my divorce, because my divorce was kind of different. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was something that we chose together that was a really loving choice for mm-hmm. both of us. And we were so together in it. And I'm like, will always for the rest of my life be so grateful for that and for him. But it's still a grieving.
Yeah.
You know, it's still such a huge loss. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot of pain there. And I think because we'd done it with so much love, it was really hard for me to look at the parts that were painful mm-hmm. or where there was anger or resentment. And I needed that program, that space, and you, honestly, to be able to just be with what was really hard for me in it. And I remember you saying in this moment in the workshop, being like, I tried everything. And it just like, it just like, it was like an arrow into me. And I was like, oops.
There's a bleep. That's what it's for.
Bleep.
My housemates and I say earmuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oops. I'm the one causing the earmuff situation. But I'm glad you bring that up. And that's actually interesting for me to hear that from your perspective, because that was, I think, so for the listeners and the viewers, I got divorced in February. So this whole year has been a lot about grief and heartbreak and sorrow and a lot of mourning. And I actually felt that we kind of complemented each other in that way, because the moment where I got to witness you in the workshop was so so intense, and so much about like feminine power and feminine beauty. And really, like I felt that you really embodied, you know, the workshop's name, Radiant Woman, because you were just you were radiating this huge feminine essence and this beauty and elegance and grace and joy, and just kind of giving me an insight into what empowered femininity can really look like, you know, even after divorce, even after all the hard things in our lives. And of course, you and I are still really young. There's more heartbreak to come yet. But to really see you embody that joy and to embody that power and that glow was so empowering for me, and kind of gave me like a, you know, almost like a little anchor point or a little marking point of, okay, like this is also part of the journey. It's not just the grief. It's not just the heartbreak. It's both. So I kind of felt like really sistered in that moment.
I love that word, sistered. That's exactly so how I felt. It's everything.
It really is.
Gosh.
It really is.
Yeah, I totally felt the same way. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that you put it, that we were so perfectly on our own unique paths in order to really support each other in where we were both at.
Right.
You know, right. I needed to be able to be with the pain of it, and you needed to see what was on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love, and I think that's the power of of sharing. You know, like women have been sharing in circles since the beginning of time. And it's just, it's so powerful to share the experience, to be like, oh yeah, I'm not alone in this.
Right. Right. I feel like I'm finally starting to get to a point in my life where everything that I think is shameful or wrong or bad about me is actually probably very normal. Because one of the cool things about this transformation journey, and you've probably experienced this a ton yourself, is there have been so many things that I thought, I can't ever say this to anyone. Like, God forbid I ever tell anyone that I think this or feel this or have experienced this. And then I finally end up confessing it, and there's so much guilt and there's so much shame. And it's, the other person looks at me and is like, oh, me too. I've had that happen. You know, and that came up a lot in Radiant Woman. That's come up so much in Core. That's come up in so much in my relationships. Just, oh, me too. And I feel like that, I don't know if you join me in this feeling, but that's kind of part of the reason why I felt like it would be a good thing to talk about, mm-hmm. you know, our divorces and the beauty and the mess. Because, you know, I think society's taking a little more of a positive view of divorce, you know, kind of just do you, what makes you happy, what makes you feel good. But going into the actual, you know, each person's experience, it's so different. It's so unique. It's so messy and just all sorts of things. And I think the more conversations we have around it, hopefully it can help other women, our sisters, to feel like, you know, they're definitely not alone.
Oh my God. Yeah. 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 And I love that you said like that everyone's experience is different, because like, although there's consistencies, you know, it's a heartbreak, it's a loss, it's a grieving right. process, you know, like it's the ending of a life that you thought that you would have. Mm-hmm. And there's usually pain involved. You know, there's also like no one way that it happens or shows up or, so if you're thinking, oh my God, like I'm weird because my divorce went this way, or, you know, like I don't have anyone to confide in because people won't understand how my divorce went. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's just, ultimately it comes down to just healing, you know, finding a way.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that you read
that. Yeah. We're right on the same. I love this.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. And I think the healing does lead to the transformation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't think it's possible to heal without transformation, actually, because I mean, healing requires something to be broken or to be in pain or to be in need of healing, right? And in order to heal, in order to change, we have to transform. Like, it's just a must. And I feel like when I went through my divorce and all of the, you know, everything that's come after it, I felt that I have no choice other than to transform. I have no choice other than to grow. I mean, technically, we always have a choice. You know, I can grow or I can shut down. But if I don't choose to grow, I have to experience the same thing over and over and over again. You know, getting that cue from the universe over and over and over again until I finally decide to learn. And I think, you know, in many ways, my divorce was probably one of the biggest wake-up calls of my life. I didn't realize just how huge of an opportunity I had to transform myself. I was kind of just going along on this like, oh, la-di-da, I have my life coaching certification. Like I'm helping other people. I'm going to these workshops. Like, look at me, I'm growing. Like, this is fun. And then boom. I really thought that like transformation was just going to be like meditation and crystals and like namaste to everyone. Like, oh, everyone's just going to be in love with me. I'm going to be in love with them. I'll be so enlightened in the next, you know, 6 months. Just kidding. Like, I feel like, you know, when the universe really wants to take it to the next level, it really just shows you everything that is not in alignment and is not ready to move you forward in your next level. And that definitely happened for me. And it happened to be in a very painful, heartbreaking way, which I think it happens that way for a lot of people. And that's why, you know, vulnerability and sharing is so important, because talking about the hard stuff is talking about the magic stuff. You know, it's not just the easy things that are part of the magic.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the hard stuff is talking about the magic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny because you literally verbatim, like, said the thing that I was like thinking about the past 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In so many different ways. Yeah. And I think, you know, I was thinking, I've knowing that we were going to be talking about divorce, it just kind of like stirred the creative and emotional and mental juices, so to say. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, which that was by far the hardest part of my divorce. The initial divorce was going through it with family. Mm-hmm. My parents had a really, really hard time with it. And I remember walking with her and I was trying to just kind of explain, because we really, it was hard for people to understand. Why are you getting divorced if you still care about each other? Why are you doing it with so much love if you're choosing not to be together anymore? Right. So it was confusing and made a lot of people angry and brought up a lot of stuff for people. And so I was explaining to her that, like, the reason why I couldn't call it a mistake, which one of my clients actually said to me this week, she was like, oh, that little mistake that you had. And I still, to this day, I cannot think about it as a mistake, because right. He was one of my greatest gifts. He is still one of my greatest gifts, both in getting married to him and in the separating from him. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we were together, he healed this part of my heart that was searching and searching and searching all the time. And in easing that part of my heart, I actually got to find me. Yeah. You know, like I began the transformation in my marriage, and then the ending of it was like a catapult into everything that I was left for me to see.
Yeah. That just hit me so much. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt.
It's kind of hard to think of it as a mistake.
No. If
it's such a gift.
Right. It really was a choice, because I feel the same way. I struggle with thinking of it as a mistake because I didn't accidentally get married to someone. It's mm-hmm. a choice that I made, and a choice I was really happy to make. And I feel the same way that, you know, my ex-husband was my growth buddy. That's really what I call him. You know, they say that relationships come in for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I really feel that that my ex-husband was the best partner for me to be able to grow in the ways that I did and to learn about myself in the ways that I did during that period of our lives. And how can you call that a mistake? It doesn't compute for me, because I didn't accidentally slip into marriage and I didn't accidentally slip into divorce. You know, those were all conscious choices that I made. And, you know, that's part of growth, can't come without self-responsibility, right? And I think that's one of the key components. And so for me to say that it was a mistake, I think would really not give enough credit to myself or to my ex-husband or to the relationship or the experience that we created together. It would almost be like poo-pooing it away and just saying it never really mattered or it never really happened. And, you know, it might be easier on some days to feel that way, but the truth is that it was something that I consciously committed to. It was something that I consciously chose to create. And so was our divorce. It was not, I think the circumstances of your divorce and my divorce were a little bit different. You know, it wasn't quite the same in the sense that I guess him and I didn't come to that conclusion that that was the right option at the same time. And so that was a little bit tumultuous, but I was very blessed in that we still were able to divorce with a lot of love and respect and care for each other. And so that's another part of where I'm like, you know, that really can't be a mistake. How can you really care about someone, care about their well-being, and do a divorce so consciously and say that it was just kind of all by accident? It's not, it just doesn't quite match. It's too grave. It's too real. Mm-hmm. It's not a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it hit me so hard when people would call it that, because it felt like it dishonored my marriage.
Yeah.
Like it dishonored the commitment that we had, even in the time that we had. Mm-hmm. You know, like there was such a depth and a soul connection in mm-hmm. in our marriage and in that choice, like you said, like that conscious choice both to get in it and to get out of it. Right. And to call it a mistake seems like a giant dishonor to that love. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when I talk about it with people too, especially people that are going through divorce, because funny enough, I've actually had quite a few clients, coaching clients and healing clients that have come to me after going through a divorce, thinking mm-hmm. about a divorce. You know, like it's funny how that alignment happens. You know,
totally.
You yep. go through it and then your people that are looking for that support just show up. But, yeah. you know, I always kind of support them, I guess, in saying that, like, you chose that for a reason. You chose to be with that person for a reason. It always starts with love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, no matter what happens and no matter how life shifts and changes and how our stuff gets in the way of relationship and creates mess, you know, like, no matter what actually happens in the relationship, it started with love.
Yeah.
And I guess that is what I would love to kind of like keep coming to and creating the conversation about, because as you begin it, you can also end it.
Yes.
Even if it's just love for yourself.
Right. Exactly. Because when you said it starts with love, my immediate was it starts with love and it ends with love, even if that love is just for yourself. Because I think that is one of the biggest gifts and blessings that my divorce really gave me, I think. Was really having to choose to love myself during one of the most difficult times of my life. Because you're spot on. There's a lot of people who don't understand. There's a lot of people who get very confused. But I think that what most people don't understand and get confused or don't realize is that the people getting divorced are often, I don't know if you felt this way, but even though it was so clear for me that that was the decision that needed to be made, I still felt so confused inside. You know, I felt peace knowing that getting divorced was the right decision, but my brain kept coming in and my heart kept coming in of, but how can that be the right decision? How can this be the right way to go? It didn't make sense to me. It was so heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And so really having to choose to actively love myself over and over and over, that was probably the most difficult practice, because up till then, and, you know, even now when I'm not being conscious, not being careful, my eligibility to receive love from other people comes from doing it right. In my head, that's how I convince myself that, oh, because I do things right, because I do things perfectly, that's why people love me. That's how I earn my love. So this mistake was, and I say that, you know, with quotes, that was a big thing for me. What if people don't love me anymore? What if my church doesn't love me? What if my parents don't love me? What if my sisters don't love me? What if my ex-husband's family no longer love me? And that was a very, very, very scary thing. And it was so scary that I buried it so deep, I couldn't even see it for a really long time. And so going through that decision, consciously choosing that and consciously carrying out all the logistics that needed to happen and having those conversations with other people was very difficult. And I was very blessed in that there were some people who were super loving, super kind, and super considerate. And then there were some people who, understandably, it brought up their own stuff around it. And so those were really difficult conversations to have. But it did bring me back to, I have to love myself over and over. You know, it's not about what mom and dad think. It's not about what sister thinks. It's not about what my coworkers think or what my best friends wanted to happen. It's all between me and God. And that was a really big shift for me in terms of my self-responsibility, my self-growth, who I am as a woman, who I am as a person. And that was where a lot of the transformation happened, I think.
Yeah. I so hear that. I really do. And again, ditto. You know, like, I think that it's the challenge that I hear from a lot of people too when thinking about this is, will I lose all the love?
Right.
All the love. Because you're not just losing your partner. The fear is that you'll lose everyone.
Right.
You know, in making this choice for yourself mm-hmm. that people may not understand or may resist or may kind of challenge you on. Mm-hmm. Am I going to lose all the love?
Right. That's like the most terrifying. That is the most terrifying frontier to look upon. That's like walking right into a hurricane.
Oh my God.
It is literally like, I don't know if you know the Enneagram, but for those who don't, it's like a personality trait, and there's, I think,
oh, right,
9 of them. It's pretty fascinating, actually. It's really cool. And I'm a 2, and they're the nurturer, healer, whatever. And our biggest fear is of losing love. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's literally like my life is at stake. The thought of losing love. Right. It's terrifying for anyone.
Right. It totally is. It totally is, especially for a nurturer and a healer. You know, when you build your life on that, when that's everything to you. Maybe I'm a 2. Who knows? Because I feel that very strongly. If I don't have love, I'll die.
Yep.
Can't handle that.
You're a 2.
Okay, then that's me. I won't even have to. But that's, you know, that did happen with a couple of people in my life where I felt very rejected. And I know you went through, you know, a similar experience with people in your life. And I didn't die. And that was the most surprising part, you know, to realize, oh, wait, my source of love doesn't come from others. It feels like that, but that's not the truth. My source of love comes from within, you know, and I'm not dead. I'm all right. I'm alive. Like, I'm still here. In many ways, I feel like divorcing, if that's the right option for a person, is the biggest act of self-love. I don't know if you felt that way, but
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for both parties, you know, even if one party doesn't choose it, like it will come around eventually to realizing that it is ultimately an act of love. Mm-hmm. Both an act of self-love and also an act of love for the other.
Right.
You know, right. Like in choosing what's best for you, you're choosing what's best for them kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But absolutely.
Yeah.
It is just, and in that, which I think we'll probably get into after the break, how courageous that is.
Right.
To choose self-love in that powerful a way. Mm-hmm. To face fear in the face and be like, okay, I choose me.
Right.
That's yeah.
Terrifying. Terrifying decision of all, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a very short break and we will be back to talk about all sorts of other juicy stuff around divorce. Stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Jazzy music.
I know. I was just going to say, that's like the cutest. I need that to be my theme music. Feels like I'm ready to go on an adventure. I need to go
yeah.
Lock the door now.
Feels a little bit like Sesame Street.
Oh, totally. Plus like Dora the Explorer. We need to make a show, Emily. We need to like make a TV show.
I love that idea.
Yeah, and that'll be our theme song.
Yep, and Mulligan, hold on. I'm moving my camera. Sorry, Conrad. Look at Mulligan!
He looks
I know.
Comfortable.
I know.
That's
so he,
what I'm doing after the show.
Right? Mm. He will be our mascot.
Love it. I'm so here for that.
Okay, so before we took a break, we were talking about, we started talking about courage, but to be honest, like, I feel like before we get to courage, we actually have to talk about the breakdown, you know, like, cause you can't get to the courage without the breakdown first.
Doesn't Glennon say that? Like first the.
Who's that? First, I don't even know who that is.
Glennon Doyle. She used to be Glennon Doyle Mountain. She wrote Love Warrior. I love her.
Ooh.
She's so great. And she says, first the pain, then the rising. She says that so many of us try to just immediately get to the rising, which I, hello, that's me.
Hello.
But she's like, you have to go into your pain before you have that rising. And she's got a great YouTube video on it. She did a presentation at Oprah's Soul Sessions down in California last year. And it's just, I watch that video all the time.
Mm.
It's everything.
Yeah, it's funny because I just remembered. Shoot. I had a friend and a client in the office today, and she walked in and I was like, oh my God, there's something I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. And I could not for the life of me have any idea what it was. And now I remember what it was. She gave me this card that had a quote on it for Christmas, like, I don't know, 3 years ago. And I kept it and had it on my altar forever. And it was something along the lines of like, a seed has to crack in order for it to bloom. And it was so much more beautiful than that. But like the essence of that resonates so deeply.
I remember the first time I read that and I was like, boom, my heart was just, it was like, oh, it's okay. It's okay to be in my heartbreak. It's okay to be in my sadness. It's okay to be in my sorrow. It was like the ultimate permission. Plus I had a cute little illustration. So I was really down for that.
Ditto. Mine was like a cute little handcrafted card. I was like, oh.
Right. And it's something that's a part of all of us. You know, and being half Japanese, it's very much a part of my heritage because you see those bowls, right, that are cracked and they have the little gold in the cracks, kind of respecting and honoring that heartbreak.
Mm.
So I call upon that every so often, you know, like this is a part of me, this is a part of my heritage, this is a part of who I am to feel pain and sorrow and make beauty out of it. And I think that's true for all of us, especially as women. I think we are powerful alchemists when it comes to heartbreak. That is powerful stuff for us.
Mm, yes. Yeah, that just like instantly brought up one of the many things that I have taken away from Core, that analogy and that imagery and symmetry, honestly, of childbirth. Like, you know, that contraction and expansion and contraction and expansion that actually births life. Right. You know, and that is such a beautiful gift and a power that women have to birth life.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can't do that without the pain of the contraction.
Right. And sometimes I wonder why, but it's just the fact.
I know. And that, you know, like, I think some of our greatest births and our greatest transformations and our greatest joys come from that pain, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it. I also like to remind people that it doesn't always have to go that way.
Right.
But just if it does, to honor it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because when pain is shunned or when we try to silence it or when we try to repress it, Chrissy from Core, you know her, she likened it to as if you have one of those beach balls and you're trying to push it underwater and you're putting all of your effort into pushing it down, pushing it down, pushing it down. It's going to come up. And when it does, it's going to fly up and hit you in the face. Mm-hmm. Or you can take it out, look at it, play with it, you know, and that is an opportunity we have as women. And I think that really has been my big opportunity and my calling this whole year, which is hard because I really do. I like to just go straight to the rising. I really just like things to be rainbows and butterflies. You know, I'm a Gemini, I'm a dreamer. I just like things to be great. And sometimes life is just really hard. And those are the moments when we learn the most about ourselves. And I think giving myself permission to have heartbreak is probably one of the most empowering things that's come out of my divorce, because it's really hard for me to do that. I tend to gather a lot of shame around having heartbreak or feeling sorrow. So having to learn that lesson over and over again has been, you know, growing me in leaps and bounds and has really expanded my compassion for other people. I'm not perfect. I've got so much further to go, but I've learned some, you know, and it's been all because of that heartbreak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so often we make those feelings wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, we're constantly trying to get away from the sadness, mm-hmm. to like run from, fix, heal, whatever the anger, the pain, the resentment, whatever the feeling is that's there that we make so wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. And much like the breaking, like that is kind of like the pieces of the breaking, like we have to just like lean into them because they're such beautiful gifts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like beautiful, beautiful gifts.
Right. It's kind of funny when you describe it that way. And I so resonate with that. I'm like, why am I turning away from beautiful gifts in favor of going shopping? I was stuffing my face with potato salad because that's my go-to.
Or mac and cheese.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. But yeah, it's like, oh, I have this opportunity to grow and change. You know what? I'm actually just going to run to the mall real quick. I'm just going to go check my email one more time. And I'm going to scroll through Facebook just to see what my like great aunt's daughter over in Europe is doing, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon, because that's what's really important.
Obviously.
Right. But it's cheating ourselves. You know, it's cheating ourselves of the growth that comes from going to the spiritual gym. And breaking down, breaking through, all of it.
Going to the spiritual gym. I freaking love that.
Because it's not just meditating on a cushion. I was so disappointed, Emily. I was so disappointed when I realized what I'd actually signed up for. I was like, dang it. I thought I was taking the shortcut through life. I thought that I was just going to like kumbaya and everything's going to be okay. But no, I have to go to the spiritual gym. I have to get swole in the spiritual sense. There's no getting around it.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Oh, I'm going to get totally buff in the spiritual gym.
In my spiritual sense, yeah. That's what I'm going to start telling people. I'm going to be like, you know, I'm not physically an athlete, but you should see my spirit. She's so ripped.
She's ripped.
She could throw a car.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
But it's how it feels after divorce, don't you think? Like, it's just like... Oh God. It feels like I had days where I felt like I was like scratched by a cat and then hit by a bus and then poured lemon juice all over me. And then I had to walk home in the rain. Like emotionally, that's how I felt.
Oh, totally.
And you can't go through that kind of stuff without getting spiritually swole to some degree, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the thing that like in the breakdown, in the heartbreak, like, you said this, which just so totally resonated with me. Like, I had no other choice either. To me, there was no other choice than to step into me, to step into like the not just the me that was there, but the me that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I didn't just do it for me. I did it for my next partnership. I did it for my family because it had broken me and my family more than ever before in our relationship. You know, like I didn't just step into it for them or myself or for my next partners. I actually stepped into it also for the people that we're talking to right now. Mm. You know, like I stepped into the heartbreak and I stepped into the transformation because I knew that there was a purpose in it. You know, there was a purpose for me. There was a purpose for every single person in my life because of it. There was a purpose for this conversation that we're having right now that's hopefully helping some other woman that's struggling or a man.
Or a man, yeah.
It does not matter. We love you all.
We are all on this journey together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, divine timing that totally just opened up like this really amazing feeling that I've been getting all week about. Oh God. Like, so I went to Nobleman in Florida. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's another core workshop for men led by women.
And it's amazing. Best workshop.
Like, whoa. so powerful to be able to witness men going through probably for many of them, the first really deep healing they've ever had and be held in it by women. And I walked away from that knowing kind of, I think, what's the next phase of my healing, not just around my divorce, but in terms of my relationship with men, so that I can take, you know, that next step to not just having powerful relationships with a partner, but to actually have really deep, intimate relationships with all men in my life, which feels super edgy and different, you know, not just as a woman and a feminist, but just like socially, that just sounds, you know, not
like
the norm,
danger, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, what if I get too close?
It's like fire. It's like,
yeah, danger. Exactly.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Exactly. I was just going to say, what if I burn myself? What if I burn him? Ah, what if we both get hurt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the thing that like sunk in so deep this weekend or 2 weekends, whatever it was that men mirrored back to me the same longing, the same desire, the same heartbreak that I had. You know, they mirrored back this desire to be chosen, to be seen, to be held, to be loved, to be appreciated. They mirrored back the like deep hurt and sorrow that comes from heartbreak and rejection and not feeling like they're enough. You know, that was a big one, you know, and it just resonated so deeply. And it made me realize that like, as this feminine is rising, right? We all see it. It's happening everywhere. The feminine is rising. The thing that makes it so different, the thing that the possibility for us in what's coming is that the feminine is about connection. It's about collaboration. And that's the gift that we have to offer, to not be, and that's what feminism is about. It's about equality. It's not about women over men. It's about equality.
We need each other.
We need each other. And we have to do this together.
Yeah. We can't do it without each other. Mm-mm. I feel like I could listen to you talk about it all day long because your words are just like, yes, like that's all I have to say. Yeah, absolutely.
100%. Yeah. It's just so exciting to me because like at this time with what's going on in the world, I feel like there's really no more important conversation to be having than that of how we move forward. With everything kind of like divorce and heartbreak, with everything getting shaken, you know, with that earthquake happening or fires all over California, right. You know, like there's an upheaval and we as humans get to choose how we want to go forward. Do we want to do it with love and connection and collaboration and intimacy? Or do we want to do it with a power struggle again?
And isn't that the greatest honor that we get to choose that? We get to create that new reality moving forward. And that's so, this is where the beep is going to come in, but that's so f***ing exciting because it's thrilling to feel like, to realize, oh wait, I actually am an active participant in this. I'm not just a helpless victim that this is happening around. You know, I'm learning from this. I'm growing from this. I'm realizing all the things around me. And men and women need each other on a large scale, and we have to choose a different future on a large scale, but it really starts from within, right? Like it really starts with what you're experiencing right now with changing your relationships around men, and same for me. Like, how do I show up in each relationship with each man in my life? And it's hard. It's harder to do that. It's a lot easier for me to point at the TV screen when the news is going on and say, this needs to change, that needs to change, you know, these big sweeping changes that I want to make. It's so much harder for me to sit across the table, or even worse, there's no table, and look a man in the eyes and tell him what I'm feeling, or listen to him tell me how he's feeling, or what's really coming up for him. That is the scary, scary part. But that's the work that I think every transformation invites us to do, especially or including divorce. It's exciting.
Yeah. It's super scary.
Yeah.
And it's super exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, like, that breaking down of how it went mm-hmm. and the breaking down of all the things that get in the way of connection and relationship and love and unconditional love, mm-hmm. you know, showing up unguarded, undefended in love, you know. And I think that that's one of the many gifts of divorce, is that in that you get to really, if you choose to, if you choose to have the courage to look within, you get to see all the ways that you create disconnect. Absolutely. You get to see all the ways that you maybe don't show up in relationship, or the ways that you do that are disempowering to the love. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that was, again, in the transformation of myself, there was a transformation in relationship. Yeah,
absolutely. Because like what you were saying earlier, it begins with love, right? And it begins with that self-love, begins with the way that I love myself. Because that's one of the challenging parts about transforming through divorce, I think, is taking a look inside, taking accountability for those ways that I showed up or didn't show up, and doing all of that with compassion and love and grace. You know, it's very easy to go into, I should have, he should have, I was wrong, he was wrong, it's all my fault, you know, all of these things. And instead to really just look at it with compassion and say, wow, I can really see where that way I showed up really wasn't in service to the highest good for my relationship. That wasn't really how I wanted to show up. That wasn't really how I wanted to interact with him or speak to him or, you know, whatever. And doing all of that with that grace, it, you know, takes a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of compassion to be able to look your shadow in the face.
Oh, my God.
A lot.
Yeah. And that's why we go to these workshops, I think, because for me, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes I feel like I'm too scared to do it alone. You know,
oh, totally.
I need my people around me, and I need the people who can see the gold in me and who can say, you know, Yuki, this is really scary. This is really hard. And we're right here with you.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely it.
Yeah.
Like, and we're not meant to do it alone.
No.
You know, that's the beauty of being human, is that we are meant to connect. Mm-hmm. We're meant to support each other. We're not meant to walk through life alone.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I loved when you were talking about, you know, finding the purpose in your divorce and finding the purpose in this transformation and this growth. I'm so curious what that decision-making process was like for you to come to realize that you wanted to have a divorce and that that was the best option. What was that like for you to go through that?
It was funny because it wasn't a long process. Mm. True to how I personally function, it was a very intuitive moment.
Yeah.
Where I, because I honestly, when I got into my marriage, I was like, I am never getting into a marriage if I think there's a slight chance of divorce. Right. You know, like I, which I think we all think.
The human certainty, right? There's that human that's like, yes, I can control everything.
Yeah. Like nobody gets into a marriage thinking they're going to get divorced.
No, you're like, I'm going to have babies with this person or not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build a house with them. I'm going to have vacations with them. We're going to grow old together. Like, it's forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, like, for me, divorce was not even a remote thought in my brain, even through some of the most challenging parts of our marriage, mm-hmm. where I felt just lost in myself and lost in sorrow. Even in those moments, and you know, those were the harder moments for me, actually, were within the marriage. It still was not even a remote thought to me to think about divorce. Like that just wasn't something that I was going to do. I was not giving up. Right. And that was actually one of my shadows that I needed to look at, was the fixer. Mm-hmm. The part of me that was like, I'm not giving up. I'm going to do everything in my power and I'm going to control the out of this. And in that process, I made him wrong in everything. Without doing it on purpose, I tried to do it with compassion. But in essence, like he was never enough. I made him feel that he was never enough or doing enough because I was so hell-bent on fixing this thing. And I own that. You know, I really do, with a lot of compassion for myself, but I do own that. And I think once I let go of that piece, once I looked that piece in the face and said, okay, you're trying really hard to fix this and to control it. And I just let it be what it was. It was almost like a veil came up and I just got to see what was there, that there was a lot of love, but it just wasn't working. And this piece that I really needed, wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And for his sake, I won't say that what that is, but I think that was the moment that the veil came up and the clarity of, oh wow, like this isn't there and it's something I absolutely need in a relationship. And that's okay. Wow. And I got to honor it for both of us. And it ended up being a huge relief for him too, because I could tell it was something that he wanted, but couldn't say.
Right. Right. You gave yourself the gift of truth.
Yeah. I think and you know what? I don't know if I'm just realizing this or if it's just a spinoff of another awareness, but I think in looking at my own stuff and actually taking full ownership, mm-hmm. I was actually able to lift the veil. You know, like I think it was only through that ownership that I was able to see clearly our relationship and own what I needed. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then it ended up, you know, it was wonderful that it happened to be a compassionate choice for both of us. But, you know, yeah, I think that answers it.
It totally does. It just, I can feel my chest just like opening up and my throat opening up and just like the power and the surrender and the courage to realize that and to open yourself up to that truth and to share it. Because telling someone that, hey, this is what I see, you know, that's not the easy part. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have the courage to do that part. That was my ex-husband's gift to me, was saying, hey, this isn't working and I don't think we want to be here. You know, and I fought that forever. Because I am the same, I'm the fixer. And I was just so committed and I wanted to do anything I could to make it work out and so on and so forth. And and coming to that realization of like, wow, that clarity. I think I really resonate with what you're saying about the veil, like really being able to see my relationship from a more objective standpoint. Mm. That was a big moment. Yeah. And I think I had been avoiding that for at least 3 years.
Mm. Yeah. Me too.
It's hard to see the truth and it's hard to surrender to that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm such a believer in this, whether it's, and I took this so much moving into any relationships going forward, that like in those 3 years, I again cannot see it as a mistake, because I learned so much and got so much out of those 3 years for myself, mm-hmm. that like, I really truly believe in divine timing, yeah. You know, that like it was meant to be those 3 years, mm-hmm. just like whoever my next partner is, I'm not going into it. Honestly, this is personal, but I'm not going into it thinking forever. I'm going into it just appreciating it for the time it gives me, mm-hmm. and wherever it goes, it goes.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much, because I think one of my misconceptions, I got married so young and so early, and one of my misconceptions was, he doesn't belong to me, but he kind of does. Mm. You know, he's not my person, but he kind of is. And what I've realized over the past few months is, no, we chose to enter each other's lives at a certain point. We had stewardship over each other in the sense that we cared for each other, learned with each other, grew with each other. But who we really belong to is the universe, God, our maker, whatever. So my ex-husband never really belonged to me. He was just in my care for a little while, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way going into a new relationship whenever, probably years down the road. But whenever it happens, that person just comes into my life. And if he stays, wonderful. And if he's ready to leave, that's part of the freedom of being human and experiencing this life. You know, I think that's something divorce teaches us. It's life is transient, changes, mm-hmm. and that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's such a gift as as being human to be able to experience the whole spectrum of life.
Absolutely.
Oh God, I literally feel like we could just like write a book together about this.
I know, right?
Or talk about this. Happen.
Let's make an 8-hour documentary.
Yeah. Probably only you and I would want to.
I know, right? Over
oh
and over.
Oh my God. Yuki, I am so grateful. This conversation just rocked my world. For those, we have like 1 minute, but I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh gosh. Follow my Instagram. That's the easiest way to do it. Yuki Kravitz, just my first and last name. Love to connect with you on there. Follow me on Facebook, anything. I'm open.
Yeah. And I will second that for the people that are watching and listening. Do it because she posts some awesome, awesome inspirational stuff. She's brilliant and an amazing, amazing coach. So if you're looking for support, she is out there waiting to just love on you. And if you do get to be with her, you're incredibly lucky. I love you so very much.
Thank you for having me on here. It was such a privilege getting to spend time with you.
Oh, we're going to have to do this again.
Absolutely.
So for all of you out there, thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us. And I wish you so much love in your life. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Emily shares the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com. That's LoveLivingHolistics.com. See you next time.